Sidonian?
Pseudonym.
Pseudonym.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
Now?
Yeah, you're right.
I hereby give to the Buffalo Woman's Oral History Project the tape recorded in December 1979 and on January 9th, 1980 for such educational and scholarly uses and purposes as the directors E. Kennedy, M. Davis, and A. Michelson shall determine. I further consent to the transcription and publication of any of all or all of this interview as educational and scholarly work required. I have been assured that only my pseudonym will be employed in any use of these tapes. I understand that at some future date the tape will be housed in an archive chosen by the directors of the Buffalo Woman's Oral History Project and will be available for public access. Governed by the rules of the archive, I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes 1 year after the date of the last interview.
Fine. Thank you. Okay. During the time you had this long relationship, did you own property together? Did you buy a house together?
I bought a house.
You bought a house at the time, and she lived with you in your house.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have any kind of ways of working out who owned material things?
No, it was all hers.
She brought all the furniture and stuff to the...
No, I bought it all.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want her to work.
Oh, I see.
And I worked and bought all the furniture and paid the bills. But I assured her that it was hers.
And when you broke up, did you in fact leave it?
Now we're getting to the point I do want to discuss.
Okay, fine. We won't talk about it then. It's okay. How did other friends of yours work out ways of dividing material property? That always seems to be a big contention.
Well, I know one couple broke up and the Butch just walked out of the house, left everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any others. I don't know. I've heard of others breaking up, and one owes the other X amount of dollars for their share.
So
I've heard of some that have walked out and took just, you know, some parts of the furniture, maybe the living room, and the other one kept the refrigerator, or they worked it out that way.
Mm-hmm. So there seems to be a variety of ways
that
people work
it out.
Yeah,
there's no set pattern on that. And like I say, it goes all the way back to the way you break up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you walk out and it's a violent breakup, and maybe the other one won't even let you back in to get your clothes. You know, if you break up in a friendly manner, you work things out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the one that's doing the breaking up, you probably have a guilt conscience and leave everything. If you break up and you still love the person that you're breaking up with, you still want her to have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all up to the individual and how you break up.
During the time of this long relationship, did you go out to bars together?
No.
Never or rarely or?
No, not at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We went out with straight men. There were a couple of times, yes, we did. We went, not to bars, but we went out with a couple of gay girls.
Mm-hmm. And you'd like what?
We didn't have many gay friends, except my friend.
Your best friend?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, well, when she was going with the girl that I introduced her, they used to come over. And we'd go to their house, but that was about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I recall, while I still have it fresh in my mind, you saying that you went with one woman many years ago for like 3 years, and then years later you went with her again. That's not the same person.
No, no. No, I
won't. Let me turn this off.
Going to. Before she married.
I mean, before she married. Oh, okay. I couldn't get some of that straight.
I can't either.
Dovetail, I know. You know.
It's hard to get things in their perspective.
Yeah. So you didn't, since there was a young child involved, you didn't go out?
No.
At all, child of hers?
No.
So you didn't go out and you didn't socialize? Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever had any friends that were gay men?
Oh, definitely.
How big a part have they played in your life, and is it different at different periods? Or?
They were in my life socially, and I maintained friendship with them. Mm-hmm. One in particular. I know there are a lot of pros and cons on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some girls just can't stand the sight of them, and most girls have one. Boy.
It's close to
them. That's very close. One gay boy that's close to them. Mm-hmm. And I find them very, most of them that I've known, very nice. Mm-hmm. You know. But there are a lot that, boy, they're against that.
Hmm.
And it surprises me. Because they're not a threat. They're not a threat to you.
Yeah.
That's why I could never understand it either.
Did they ever give a reason?
No, it's just that they can't stand them, you know. And I have no idea why anybody can't stand them, because that, to me, they're not a threat to you. I don't know, I think they're great, the ones I've met.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're beautiful.
Yeah. But you've had one close friend
for
a while. How would you compare the kind of close friendship you had with your butch friend, the one who died 5 years ago, and the gay man that you're close
to? There's no comparison. There's no comparison at all. There's no comparison with any friend I've had. Before or since?
Her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long have you known him?
5 years.
Hmm. So that's not as long a relationship
either.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Do you recall when the Mattachine Society started in Buffalo? Mm-hmm. Do you recall your first contact with any kind of gay organizations happening here in the city? First time you heard about it?
When?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'd say about 6 years ago. 5 years ago. I didn't know anything about it. I joined a group at the center. And that's how I learned about the machine. SOS.
Oh, you joined SOS?
No, I joined another group.
Oh, the older GROW.
GROW.
Gay Rights Older.
Right.
Uh-huh. And that was in about 1975? Is it that old organization? I can't remember when it started.
I can't either, but I'd say about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. What made you join the group?
Someone asked us to, and we did.
Uh-huh.
We went there and we enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
We went through, kept it up for a while, and then it started from the center, I think. Was being torn down is when we started pulled away from it.
Yeah. You went with your current lover. This is the
no,
one.
No, not my current.
I'm sorry. You went with the lover that you were with then,
mm-hmm.
and that was the lover you'd been with. You had the real long relationship
mm-hmm.
with. Did you like the women that you met there?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Why do you think that you left the organization?
It sort of disbanded itself.
Oh, when
at the time,
place
when
was
the center
being
was,
torn down.
Yeah, then they had meetings on Franklin, something like that, some little store.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't pan out too well. Then they sort of, you know, pulled away from each other for a while. Then I understand now that they're meeting at everybody's house.
Right, right. They meet at people's houses every 2 weeks.
Yeah, something, something like that.
Right. Yeah, it's fine. Do you think that gay organizations in Buffalo have changed the climate for gay people here at all? Or do you think that gay organizations throughout the country have changed the climate overall at all?
Yes, I do. I think it's made other people, straight preferably, aware of the fact that, you know, we're here. And that we're here and that, I mean, we're for real.
Mm-hmm. So you think that's been the result of the work of gay organizations?
Yeah, and I also think that these marches and, you know, et cetera, have changed a lot of people's mind on how we are. I mean, they've got one quote, Anita Bryant, you know, idea of how we are. You know, perverts and sick, you know, it's driving up a wall just to even hear it. And I think it's educated a lot of people that wouldn't know otherwise, except by hearsay.
We haven't talked at all about any kinds of books or movies or things like that in your life. Do you remember having read any gay novels ever?
Oh, yeah.
What was the first one?
Wells of Loneliness. Those faithful standby.
Yeah. When did you read it?
Not exactly. No. Quite a while ago.
In the 40s or the 50s?
Yeah, I think it was in the 40s.
40s.
In fact, I still have it.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have the same copy you had then?
No, I have
another.
The same book. Not the same book I had then, but the Wells of Loneliness.
Uh-huh, yeah.
In fact, someone gave it to me about 2 months ago. So I haven't gotten into it yet.
How did you get hold of the book the first time?
I can't remember.
Don't remember.
I think my friend gave it to me.
That woman who was your best friend?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I think she did.
Uh-huh. What'd you think of it after you read it?
Honestly, I don't think it's like it really is, you know. I could have written it much different, much truer to life.
What was unrealistic for you?
Well, I don't remember it that well, but that's the impression it left on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if I were her, I would have done things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And things that she didn't do should have been done. I mean, it was a natural. I mean, it's all jumbled up. I haven't
it's
refreshed
a long time
my...
Without,
yeah, it is. But that's the impression it left on me.
Yeah. What else have you read?
I've read others, but I can't remember.
Do you remember reading any of the books about Bebo Brinker?
No.
The Anne Mannin series? I Am a Woman. Bebo Brinker is one of the titles of one of the books. I'm trying to think of other titles you might know. The Price of Salt, Claire Morgan's book.
I've heard of it, but I don't think I've read it.
I haven't read it either. If you ever find it, let me know. Were the ones you read paperbacks that you might have read in the 50s and 60s?
No. I remember the hardcover.
Hmm.
The few I've read.
Mm-hmm.
I've read many, but a lot of them were paperback, but the ones that left an impression on me were the hardcover books. They seemed, I mean, like Wells and Loneliness, that left an impression, not favorably, but it left an impression. Mm-hmm. And the others were more or less stories. You could tell, you know, they were.
How did you feel they reflected your own life?
Nothing. Nothing compared to, you know.
You couldn't relate
No, no relation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The way I'd lived.
Do you think that the lives of the people in the books were more
exciting? I think they're fictional.
Glamorous?
No.
Just made up?
Yeah, just made up. Natural life.
Mm-hmm. Were they too good to be true or too bad to be true? Or?
No, they just... They always ended up like a murder story would end up that they always catch the guy, you know.
Oh, I see. You know, murder, I mean? Or suicide.
And yeah. At the end of every book I read, the girl realizes she's not gay, it's not her life, and it's not right, and goes straight. But you know that isn't always true.
Oh, nobody lives gay ever after.
And there are people that don't live gaily ever after. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are murders that are committed that you're never caught.
Right.
And there are robberies that are committed that they get away with it. But every story, you see, they have to end it, but they're caught because I guess they don't want to educate people to think that, you know, this, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You could murder someone and get away with it. It's just like the books. They don't want straight people to read this, like, well, hey, you know, it's okay to be gay, because look how happy they are.
So they have obligatory sad endings.
Yeah.
Speaking of sad endings or happy endings, or a topic that we want to ask everybody about is aging in the community. And, how do you see your future as a gay woman? Does getting older as a lesbian mean anything special to you?
No, I have never thought about it.
Do you feel you're going to be okay?
Yeah. I never thought about being a lesbian and alone and old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought about it.
So it's never really scared you, either.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, because I have other interests besides, you know, I have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very close to my family.
So sure you have kids and all, and mm-hmm. you think that is what will keep you feeling secure through your age.
Like I say, I never thought, you know, I really never dwelled on that. It never entered my mind. Like I said earlier, when I'm in a relationship, I think it's going to be forever. Mm-hmm. I feel that way now. I feel like it's going to be. I mean, it can't be, I can't see it any other way. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably will be, but, you know, at this point, I don't see it.
How do you feel when you see, when you go into the bar sometimes, and I know you don't go out very much, but and you see women who are quite a bit older than you, who are there, who don't have a lover. How does that make you think or feel?
Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a bar. But anytime I see someone at a party, or I know they're gay and they don't have anybody, I feel very bad for them. I mean, I really sympathize with them. They could be happy. I don't know. Maybe that's the way they want it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that, so I have to think the other way. And I wish I could help them. You know, I'd like to just draw them into the group I'm in and, you know, ask them to sit down and have a drink, which I don't know how long that would help. You know, you can't go around carrying the whole world on your back. But I always had a dream from the day I knew I was gay. I wanted a special club just for a woman that needed to be with someone, needed a place to stay, needed someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. I always said if I ever was, you know, blessed with a downfall of, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, that would be the first thing I'd do. I would have an estate and build a great big place and have rooms and for everybody that needed a place to stay, needed to have be with someone, you know. And I know it's a dream, but, and it probably never will come true, but I would really like to see that. I would like to see a community, just gay people to help other gays.
How do you see the community treat its older women now? How do you feel the community is towards its elders?
I think that you're talking about the younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very to themselves. I don't think they're even aware of them, to be honest with you. I think they're just their own little group, young, you know, inexperienced. And cut, you know, they're all by themselves. I don't think they even think about mm-hmm. the older women that are there. I mean, that's the way it seems to me. And
how
I think that's how it should be.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that's how it should be. Definitely. Because actually, what do you have in common with an 18 and 19-year-old that's just coming out and is real macho and thinks knows everything, and you really can't teach her anything if she doesn't want to be taught, you know? And that's the attitude they have. They walk in, they strut in like, you know, toothpick in their mouth and that sort of thing, you know. So. Do you find them different when, you know, if you're in a bar? Yeah, well, it's because they really are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I find them different. But I wonder if we weren't that way when we were younger. I don't know. I don't remember. You can't. It's hard to put yourself in it.
I know it. And I can't even.
Hmm. Interesting. Let's just see what else. Do you think the bars have changed over the years? Think they're better now, or if they were better then?
No, I think they're better now. I think they're more open.
Mm-hmm. Looking better now.
Yes, they're more open.
Mm-hmm. What about the bar owners?
Oh, I can go on that subject for an hour. You know, you know, there's some bar owners that you know they're in it for the money. Naturally they're in the business for money. I don't mean that. I mean, but they're, they give you the impression they're tolerating you because of your money.
Uh-huh.
Not because they really like you or they don't think not of you being gay.
Mm-hmm.
There's one bar in particular that you had the feeling that he laughed at you and he thought this was really sick, you know.
Which bar was that? You can tell me off the tape. Yeah, sure.
He just wanted the money.
He got it, too,
yeah.
For a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to see a bar owned by gay people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a bar owned by someone who's gay.
Who's that? I don't know of any. Except the one you're talking about that you can't touch. You know?
Right. So there you have a bar that's owned by gay people. Now what? Good luck.
It's the wrong gay person.
It's the wrong gay person. Not only if there's somebody who's gay, you have the right
gay. Someone that understands gay people.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. That's funny. You think, do you think there's a reason that gay bars don't last a real long time?
No, I don't know why they don't. I've heard it said that the gay people don't support them.
Uh huh.
But I don't know, even though straight people will go every night.
Right.
You know, So why is it so different? Why do we have to go every night to support a gay bar? And why must our bars always be in the you know, crappy part of town?
If there was a gay bar, there was a gay bar in a really nice part of town, I don't know what a nice part of town is, but comparatively.
Compared to Chippewa and Pearl, you know.
Yeah. If there was one on Kenmore and Colvin, you know, or Union and Cleveland or something like that,
yeah.
Would you go to it?
I think I'd go to it more often, yes.
Uh-huh.
And especially if it was on my BP. Especially.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're constantly supporting the straight people that are from the environment. But what? I mean, what do they give us? You know? Mm-hmm. Now, this one here that's open now, I mean, the guy seems all right.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is straight. He has straight friends in him that really gape, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't want to be put on display.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that we're on display for his select few friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know there are a lot of straight people that like gay people. They're not gay, but they like them.
Uh-huh.
They accept them. They understand it. I mean, that's fine. You don't discriminate against people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that you should have your friends that are straight come in just to see, you know, gay people, how they act and how they dance. And that's just the impression I get.
Oh, I see.
You know?
I haven't noticed that, but I haven't been looking either.
Well, I haven't looked either. It was just there. It's one night in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. My girlfriend and I were dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could almost feel, you know, someone looking. And there was this guy just standing looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a novelty, you know, it's freakish.
These
two girls dancing. Look at how they're holding it. You know how the girls dance.
Oh, yeah.
How they hold each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he thought it was very unique or funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Hmm. What about the music in the bars? Do you like it now? Did you like it better years ago?
Yes. I liked it before. You know, when you could go to a bar, if you wanted to dance, you had that room to dance in and the jukebox.
Mm.
But you were able to talk to somebody. You know, you could carry on a conversation. But this sound system they had, like at the bar on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand the other bar had a disco.
Mm-hmm.
Scene there that you can't sit and talk. I see people I haven't seen for a while, and you like to talk, but you can't. I mean, you're shouting, you're constantly shouting in each other's ears.
Uh-huh.
And you really can't go out and enjoy an evening with friends.
Does that change the quality of socializing at a bar then?
I mean, now we wanted to go a couple times. We liked it at the beginning because you could just press the jukebox and you could play your type of music if you get a chance.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody has a chance to play their type of music. And if I can listen to your type of music, which I don't like, I mean, I should have the same respect from you. You listen to my type that you don't like. I mean, everybody has a little bit of their own music. And if you want to dance, you have the back room, and that's where all the speakers were. That's where it was blaring. But you could talk up front
mm-hmm.
to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, I don't even feel like I want to go because what's the sense?
Uh-huh. What about bartenders in gay bars? Have you noticed over the years that there's been the same bartenders around all the time, or